Four. We have four cases on our calendar, three for oral argument. The first case is A23-1882, Edwards versus State of Minnesota. Counsel, you're familiar with our proceedings. You'll each have 15 minutes for your primary argument. The appellant has an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. These matters are being recorded. That is the only recording that is permitted today. And please introduce yourself and identify your client before you begin speaking. And with that, counsel, anytime you are ready, we are ready for you.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Amy Lawler. I'm an assistant state public defender, and I represent the appellant, Deborah Edwards, in this appeal. There are two issues before this court today.
We don't have to get to the second one if we agree with you on the first, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
I certainly hope you do agree. And I think that the...
We'll see.
And the key issue here is whether this court should reverse Edwards' misdemeanor conviction because the state failed to sufficiently prove that Edwards committed trespass. And on that issue, there were two things that the state was required to prove. It needed first to prove that Edwards was told to leave from and not return to Krause's house, and two, that she then intentionally returned to Krause's house with the knowledge that she was forbidden from doing so. This is under 609.605 subdivision 1B8.
Your client in her testimony kept saying, well, I never got anything in the mail. Under the statute, that's not required, correct? I mean, it might be best practice, but as long as a police officer uses the magic words in subdivision 8, then, you know, you're stuck. Would that be a fair statement?
I agree that there's no written notice required. That's absolutely true. And this court in AAD laid out essentially what is required in the oral notice if there is no written notice issued. And I think that this court's analysis it's at the very end of page 668 in the AAD decision, is really instructive as to what's needed when you use a term of art like the word trespass. And that's true especially because, as this court noted, the word trespass, the past tense construction of the verb, commonly indicates a previous unlawful intrusion onto property rather than a current prohibition against future entry. And that's the key issue in this case. There is no question that on that night, my client had already left. There is no question that the police officer told her that she was trespassed. The question then is, what did that word mean? What did she understand? Was that oral notice enough? And this case is unusual because we don't actually have the officer's testimony. The officer who was there on that day, on May 10th of 2022, did not testify. The only testimony we have from an officer is the one that issued the citation 5 months later, and his interpretation of what the log entry, the CAD log entry, must have meant in terms of what sort of notice Edwards received. This deputy, Deputy Juszczyk, did not testify that she was specifically told that she had to leave and could not return, or that there was any period of time during which she could not return.
For me, and not speaking for my colleagues, how long the trespass, what the duration of the prohibition on return is, that is at least of some concern to me, because there might be a question of, does that mean forever? Does that mean for a week? Does that mean for the next 3 hours? Does that mean for 6 months? I mean, what is the requirement when someone is trespassed from a property to identify the duration of that prohibition to return?
I believe AAD did clearly indicate that the duration of the prohibition is required in the notice in order for that prong of knowledge to be met. And that's particularly important.
And is there any evidence of the duration in this case?
No. The only evidence is that in general, the sheriff or deputy Juszczyk testified on page 47 that she was trespassed, and he testified on page 44 that essentially that they're told, I believe the exact wording is, they're no longer allowed to be on that property. So there is no specific testimony about how long or whether it's incident specific. And I think that's particularly important here because there were two separate triggers, essentially, that caused Ms. Edwards to go to this house, which was also an office, specifically with matters related to employment. The first was in May because she was not paid for work she did. And later in October, she went because her son had either been fired or quit, and she wanted to talk to the employer about this young adult son and his termination from employment.
And so in the closing argument, the prosecutor said two things about duration, as I understand it. And correct me if I'm wrong, counsel. There was an indication that she was trespassed, I think it was, quote, for a year, and also that she was, quote, never to return to the property. Is there any evidence in the record that supports or that from which a reasonable inference could be drawn for either of those two representations of duration?
You are correct that those were the two things that were said, and no, there is nothing in the record that would support either inference. The closest we have is the actual exhibit, which is the sole exhibit in the trial, which all it says is Deborah was advised she was trespassed from residence. She stated she understood. We don't even know who wrote this. We don't know which officer was the one that spoke to her. We have no additional. That's
going back to the sufficiency of the evidence, if you're done answering that question, if you're not,
continue. No, you're not. I'm done.
Is it your view we apply the direct evidence standard or the circumstantial evidence standard?
I think both, because it goes to the question of her understanding. And so I think the court should properly, reading this in the light most favorable to the verdict, consider the circumstantial evidence that Deputy Juszczyk testified to as to the general practices, and especially then his understanding based on his conversation with her in October, which is what she told him then as to what her understanding was. And his description of that conversation, that October conversation, is located starting at page 47 onward of the transcript. And that's where he repeatedly indicates that she didn't understand and that, and this is on page 48, she had stated something to the effect that she was advised that she was trespassed. However, she believed that she could return to the residence and that she needed there needed to be some sort of order in place for her, a restraining order. But besides that, I spoke with her and I informed her that she was trespassing at the residence again and I issued her a citation. So it seems like the very first time a deputy directly told her, no, you can't go back for a year, was on the day she was getting the citation, which is not sufficient then to support the conviction as a matter of law. And, you know, I think that this case is unusual in the sense that it tracks so closely with the matter of welfare of AAD in terms of the language that's used, the trespass or official trespass, but that the evidence is even less sufficient because unlike an AAD, we don't even have an officer who was there that day testifying. All we have is the subsequent citing officer 5 months later giving his analysis of what he believes people generally say when they're getting trespassed or what the log entry probably meant. So we don't have any either direct or circumstantial evidence that would indicate that Ms. Edwards was told directly that she could not return for 1 year or that she understood she could not return and returned anyway. So this case, I think, is particularly insufficient, even in the realm of trespass cases and misdemeanor trespass cases. This lacks even the most basic of testimony from any officer indicating that she was given the proper and necessary advisements. And so, as Judge Connolly noted, if that's the deciding factor, we don't need to reach the second issue. If the evidence is insufficient, this court should simply vacate the conviction. Ms. Edwards, who is a middle-aged woman with very little experience in the criminal justice system, will be able to be relieved from her probation obligations and move on with her life. But if that is not the case, and this court does need to reach the second issue, I would like to briefly address the question of the prosecutor's misstatements, the prosecutorial misconduct that occurred in the closing argument. Because I do think it's significant that in this case, the prosecutor repeatedly, not just once, but multiple times, made assertions about the record that simply were not true, both that she was told she could never return and that she was told she could not return within 1 year. There was no testimony as to either of those points. And so the fact that the prosecutor repeatedly hammered on that indicates both the importance of those arguments to the state's case and to the fact that it was misconduct and that it, given that this was the crucial factual issue in the case, goes to the reasonable likelihood of the effect on the verdict.
you know, in all fairness, the prosecutor didn't say, and she testified she was told to never return, and she testified that she was told never to return in a year. I mean, he didn't really say, the prosecutor didn't say that, correct?
That's correct. Okay. That's true.
So, I mean, I understand your point. I view that as more argument than sort of a deliberate misrepresentation of the record.
Well, I think that in particular the assertion made on page 106 to 107, where she has been told time after time to stay off the property, would indicate something that certainly was not ever asserted in the record, that there had been multiple instances of warnings. And then on page 108, where the prosecutor said, the officer 5 months earlier said, you are never to go back to that property, which is, again, a quotation. And there was certainly no testimony from that officer and certainly not any testimony to that particular wording. And then when he again hammered on that on page 109, that she was never to go back to that property, that she was told she was never to go back to that property, again, I think obfuscates the issue and really goes to the point that the prosecution, the state, understood it needed to prove this element. But that testimony wasn't there. The evidence wasn't there. And so they simply announced that it was. And so while this case is certainly, I think, insufficient as a matter of evidence, and we don't necessarily need to reach this issue, this case is unusual in the sense that the prosecutor hammered on that so repeatedly, given the absolute dearth of information or support for those statements in the record. So unless there are any other questions, we would ask the court to reverse Ms. Edwards' conviction or, in the alternative, order a new trial on the issue of prosecutorial misconduct. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lawler. You'll have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Counsel, anytime you're ready.
May it please the court, my name is George Kennedy. I'm an assistant Sherburne County attorney, and I appear on behalf of Respondent of the State of Minnesota. I just want to clear up a couple of things about the statute. First of all, the statute does not specify who is responsible for issuing the trespass notice. It does not say that it has to come from law enforcement. It doesn't say that it has to come from the deputy. So to the extent that the appellant is trying to cabin this to only the law enforcement words matter, I think that that goes beyond what the statute requires. Additionally, I disagree that AAD or the statute requires express notice about how long the trespass lasts.
How is the person who is trespassed from the property supposed to know how long they're prohibited from going to the property in the absence of notice?
I believe that the statute is framed so that someone could say leave now and never come back. And
okay.
The conduct would not be criminal if they returned a year and a day later. However, they would still have been told, do not ever come back to my property. So it's a question of whether or not the return to the property is criminal.
And what is the best evidence in the record that she was told by anyone that at the time that she was prohibited from returning to the property either for a year or never?
Here we have Mr. Krause's testimony on page 36 of the record saying that she was told by him that she is not welcome on the property and that she needed to leave. And additionally, we had...
So not welcome on the property is, in your view, the same as you are prohibited from returning on the property, returning to the property?
As the court said in AAD, that it's not... To go back to what Judge Connolly said, this isn't a magic word statute. The notice
no,
has...
I think Judge Ross, in his opinion, said it is. I want to make sure I understand at least one point, because the argument now that the employer told her... So I want to make sure I get this straight. If someone knocks on, okay, you know, I'm at home. Mm-hmm. Someone knocks at my door, and I don't know, whatever, we didn't get along. And I open the door, and I say, I'm telling you right now, you are not to return to my house within the next year, and I mean it. So if I say that, and the person knocks on, you know, the next day, knocks on my door and says, here I am, you know, you're a jerk, that person can be prosecuted under the statute. Is that what you're telling me?
As Judge Ross wrote on page 669, quote, we need not decide whether a property owner or agent must use the precise statutory phrase verbatim. And of course, we are in no position to predict whether the officer's phrase used here will ever become so commonly understood in ordinary usage that imposing criminal liability would be fair. So Judge Ross recognized that a citizen, a civilian, can in fact trespass someone from their property without law enforcement being there. I think it's best practice to have law enforcement come and do that, because then you have documentation in the form of either a CAD note or body-worn camera video or some sort of report from the incident showing what exactly happened, and you have a third party that can come in and testify about the advisory that was given.
Mr. Kennedy, I completely agree with you that an ordinary citizen can provide a notice that someone is trespassed from their property. But I think my question to you originally is, what's your best evidence that that actually happened? And then we got to I think you started your answer and you indicated that the property owner indicated to the appellant in this case that she was not welcome. And I'm asking you, are you saying that the words, you are not welcome on my property, is the same as you are prohibited from coming to this property for the next year or forever?
I think a reasonable person would understand it that way, Your Honor. And I think that...
I mean, why would someone saying you're not welcome be interpreted as meaning you're prohibited from coming here ever again? I mean, welcome is, I'm not sure they're synonymous. Help me understand why they're synonymous.
I think it indicates a revocation of the implied license that people have to go up and knock on the door of your house to say, you're not welcome here anymore. And I think that Ms. Edwards understood that. If you look at her own testimony on page 84 of the transcript, where she, page 83 to 84, where she acknowledged that she'd been told to leave and not come back, and she knew that she was not welcome on the property when this happened, that she wasn't supposed to go there. So I think that there are statements from the property owner and Ms. Edwards that both show she had been told to leave and not come back and knew that she was not supposed to go back there, but she went anyway. And when you're reviewing the sufficiency of the evidence, you have to set aside the evidence that is contrary to the verdict, which would include her statements that she expected to get some sort of restraining order notice in the mail or some sort of written statement. Because just like a...
Let me pose a hypothetical to you, counsel. So say you have a door-to-door salesperson or solicitor, and they come up to the door and they knock on the door and the person opens the door and says, you're not welcome here. You need to leave. And they leave. And then they come back the next day and they knock on the door again. And the owner says, I told you, you're not welcome here. You need to leave. And they leave. And then they come back again the next day. And this time the person calls the police and says, I've trespassed them from the property. I've told them they're not welcome here, and they have continued to come back. Is that criminal? Is that under the statute?
Assuming that they've also been told to leave the property, I think that it would satisfy the elements.
It would or would not?
Would.
It would.
Because they've been told that they are not welcome there anymore. So they should know, don't come back. You've lost your implied license to come up and knock on my door. Just like to extrapolate to a consent search sort of issue, if someone says, go ahead, and then they change their mind, you have to stop. It's a similar sort of circumstance here.
And what's your best authority for that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That's okay. Go ahead.
No. Please go
What's
ahead
the best
answer.
Authority for that proposition? It's a little concerning to me. It really does expand the scope of the statute, in my view. So I'm just wondering what your best authority is for that proposition.
Again, pointing to AAD, where it says that this is not a magic word statute, and we're not going to specify the exact phrase that needs to be used to trespass someone, because then we would be back here.
Well, it's fair enough. It says what it says, but it certainly says trespassing, to be told you've been trespassed, that is the failed word. You can't use that, right? Would that be a fair statement, Mr. Mr. Kennedy?
Just saying that you have been trespassed is not sufficient because it doesn't explain those two requirements, to leave and not return.
So, you know, for me, looking at the evidence in the light most favorable to the verdict, I look at the transcript where Ms. Lawler's client was cross-examined, and apart from, you know, getting into hearsay and all that, you know, the question is, excuse me, did you talk to an, this is on page 79, did you talk to an officer who told you, don't return, you were trespassed from the property? I talked to the officer, and that is what they told you, that you are trespassed and not to return. I was waiting for, excuse me, for information. This is a, and this is, I think, the most important part. This is a yes or no question. Did they tell you you were trespassed and not to return? I don't know, maybe, yeah. Question, I'm sorry, I don't know, maybe, yes. Is that what you said? If, I'm not sure. You know, is that sort of the best evidence, admission from Ms. Lawler's client that she was told not to return within a year?
There are two parts to my answer here. And first, if we're talking about the whatever she was told by law enforcement, mm-hmm. I think that that is probably the
okay.
the best place.
You know, what I was looking for is an unequivocal yes. And I kind of don't see that. So that's, so isn't that a problem for the state here?
If we're focusing solely on what she was told by law enforcement, yes. But if okay. we open it up to what she was told by the property owner, who is entitled to okay. trespass on her own.
Now,
his
what?
Own.
Fair enough. Now, let's look at what should I be looking at, and on what page of the transcript for what the property owner told her.
That would be on page 36.
Okay.
Lines 20 to 25, and then it carries over to page 37, where he said he was asked, she was not welcomed on your property and to leave. The property owner said yes. There was a follow-up to make sure that that was clearly stated, and Mr. Krause said, there is no question. I just kept repeating it for her to leave.
But where does it say he asked her to leave and never come back?
For a year.
Or for a year.
As long as we're using magic language, I'm going to use the real magic language.
And again, I know,
but, you know, I read what you're right. The opinion says that. But in all candor, what I get from that case is it's got to be absolutely clear. I mean, and I don't know. I don't think sharing Judge Frisch's and Judge Cochran's concerns, you know, you're not welcome here. You know, I mean, people tell me that all the time, but I get to stay.
I try to listen
and
to
no
that
one's
one
charged me with a misdemeanor.
Always welcome.
So we should look at the language we had when I was talking to you about what the cop supposedly told her. And the language with the "you're not welcome," and if I cobble that together, she knew she wasn't to go back within a year. Would that be a fair statement, Mr. Kennedy? Because I mean, I don't think the CAM does it for you, or I don't know what CAD. Excuse me, I apologize. Because that's Deborah was advised she was trespassed from residence. She said she understood. I mean, that's.
That is AAD.
Yeah, that's the case all over again. So, you know, that doesn't work. So then we've got kind of the transcript, and, you know, with a criminal statute and criminal penalties, you know, I think there's a lot of case law that says it's got to be absolutely clear that, you know, you were told what not to do and within what time period, and if it's not, you know, I think that's kind of a problem. Now, you know, apart from whether or not I believe she did or did not know she wasn't supposed to go back, that's different. And the whole trespassing. But I'm not so sure that this language that we've been talking about gets you to a guilty verdict. Now, why am I wrong?
Again, I disagree with the premise that the notice has to include the duration of that trespass. So I think that it is okay, according to AAD, to say, you have to leave, do not come back.
But that, where does it say in the transcript that she was told, do not come back? I see where it's, you know, there's an answer, there's a question, and you told her on the two times, you remember for sure, maybe more, that she was not welcome on your property and to leave. Answer, yes. But I don't see, I mean, it's at that point in time. That's my reading of it. She was not welcome right then, but I don't.
They were talking about the two incidents. So there was the October 10th, October and the May incident. So it was a question about both of those times. And the property owner was saying at both of those times, I told her, leave and you are not welcome here.
Right, but where does, I mean, when you look at the definition of welcome in the dictionary, it says receive gladly into one's presence or companionship. I don't see how saying you're not welcome based on the dictionary definition has a temporal component that extends well into the future.
I think that Ms. Edwards' testimony acknowledges that she knew that it was more than just in that moment and that it was.
And where is that? What page of the transcript?
That was page 84. You were never welcome there after you were trespassed from the property. Is that correct? I guess. So I think she knew that she, the record shows that she knew she was not supposed to go back there. And if I can just speak briefly about the closing argument issue, the state is allowed to, as Judge Connolly said, make an argument. I think that this is a synthesizing of the evidence that came out from the CAD notes, the deputy's testimony of what a trespass notice means, the testimony from Mr. Krause and Ms. Edwards' own testimony. So I think that these statements that are now objecting to do arise out of all the evidence that was brought in. Additionally, because there was a limiting instruction on whether they should look at the attorney's statements or the testimony, I don't think that there was prejudice here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Ms. Lawler, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd like to pick up here briefly where the state just left off on page 84 of the transcript, where the question was, you were never welcomed there after you were trespassed from the property. Is that correct? I guess. Okay, and so when you went back on October 8th, you knew that you weren't welcome there. Is that correct? I guess. I don't know. And this goes to the heart of the matter. This question, I think, especially of Judge Cochran's definition of welcome, there's no question that Mr. Krause was not a welcoming figure. He was drunk and belligerent. They had altercations. He told, according to the CAD log, he told the police that he had paid her for her work and then testified on the stand that he had not paid her and she had no claim to the money. There is no question that their relationship was contentious and not welcoming. But that's not the legal question, and that is not sufficient to show that an individual was told both that they had to leave and that they could not return during the duration of at least that 1 year. And so ultimately, the portions of the transcript that the state has pointed to all do indicate that there were certainly muddled interactions during which Ms. Edwards got the impression that Mr. Krause had stolen wages from her, that he was difficult to interact with, but also that he would not answer the phone or emails. There was no HR, and she went to the place of employment to talk to him in May about the stolen wages and in October about her son's termination. There is nothing in the record ever that indicates that either Mr. Krause or an officer told her to leave and not return for this particular duration of time. If there are no further questions, we would ask the court to reverse the conviction.
Thank you very much, counsel. Thank you very much, counsel, for your submissions and your argument. Very helpful to the court. This matter has been submitted, and we will issue an opinion within the statutory time period. Thank you very much.